Washington Post, which constantly urges us to lower our voices, said after the president's detailed address to the nation on his decision to clean out the Cambodian sanctuaries, and I quote, the Post said there is something so erratic and irrational, not to say incomprehensible, about all this that you have to assume there is more to it than he is telling us. Now, the Post might just as well have come out and said that it thought the president had lost his sanity. Words like erratic, irrational, and incomprehensible are not ordinarily used to describe the carefully studied military decision of the nation's commander-in-chief. And when the president referred to some college-based criminals as bums, these were the people, incidentally, who'd burned up a noted professor's life work of research. The Post was beside itself. It fulminated as follows, and I quote, campus unrest is simply being fanned and exploited by the administration. Hate the dissidents, excoriate the bums. See if you can match Mr. Agnew in hurling names at them. That was the hysterical view from the Post's ivory tower, where that master of sick invective, Herblock, also works. He reached a new low with a cartoon showing a National Guardsman in the aftermath of the Kent State tragedy with a box of live ammunition, each bullet bearing a phrase from one of my speeches, except one. That bullet was labeled College Bums in honor of the president. And they ask us to cool our rhetoric and lower our voices. Meanwhile, at the other end of the Washington-New York axis, the New York Times was thoughtfully contemplating events. James Rustin, writing from Washington on May 10th after the weekend of student demonstrations, saw fit to equate me with Jerry Rubin as an extremist. Mr. Rustin did not bother to amplify this comparison. And it's appropriate that this slur was cast by Mr. Rustin, who delights in calling other people demagogues. Earlier, the Times had deplored what it called the administration's open exploitation of fear and discord, and had said, there's a disturbing appeal to the nation's lowest instincts in the present administration's descent to gutter fighting. And they ask us to cool the rhetoric and lower our voices. I.F. Stone's biweekly, another strident voice of illiberalism, commented, the race is on between protest and disaster. The only hope is that the students can create such a plague for peace, swarming like locusts in the halls of Congress, that they stop all other business and make an end to the war the number one concern it ought to be. The slogan of the striking students ought to be, suspend classes and educate the country.